The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City studios of the Farrell Palacio, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's upstairs watching. Something about the queen. I think they call it the crown. And in the middle of it, she said, bring me out a stick of that AK-47. Because she likes to get her indica swerve on in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up. Should do be all my friends that come around, flat to flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. And it's toll-free, the number to get on the bench, 844-843-6879. Again, toll-free. That means you don't pay, slick. 844-843-6879 to get benched. Blue Line Kurtz will join us this very hour, and we'll talk hockey with him. But I will say, it was not a good night for us in hockey, Carver High, either or. The Penguins had a lead. In the second period, they were up, at one point or another, 1-0, and they lose in a shootout to the Flyers, 2-1. So Philly goes into Pittsburgh. Penguins had won 9 of 11, and I think the worst team in the East, the Flyers, suddenly beat the Penguins. So there you go. Islanders, I thought they were 5-0 against the Bruins, and the Bruins kicked their ass tonight, 4-1. The Rangers hit for us, 4-0 over the Devils, but the Sabres beat the Capitals, and at that point, I'm broke, okay? I'm basically broke after losing that one. Canes over the Predators. Now I'm really in a hole, and at least the Lightning won in overtime. The Jets beat the Leafs. It was just a terrible night for me, although I did hit the Red Wings to save some face against the Blackhawks at Little Sleezers in Motown, so I can't get out of that fast enough tonight, but we will talk to Blue Line George Kurtz about hockey coming up this very hour. So there you go. One other thing I noticed was how awful Trey Young was tonight. Can anyone shoot worse than him tonight? I mean, this guy's been out of the lineup. He came back in. He shot 3 of 17 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. All of his points came at the line. He was an atrocity playing basketball tonight. He didn't even look like a professional basketball player. That's how bad he was. I don't know. It was like he was drunk. I've never seen a guy miss so many shots. That's, you know, a shooter, a pure shooter, a guy that can drop 40, 50 points in a game and he shoots 3 of 17. I mean, how bunk are you? as the Bucks kicked the Hawks' ass in Atlanta, 120 to 109. It was easy pickings for Giannis. He barely tried. He had 15. Holiday had 23. Brooke Lopez had 19. And then everybody else, your boy Patty Connaughton, 14. Teague, 11 with 5 dimes. Portis, 11 with 7 boards. Everybody got involved. Bucks blow out the Hawks. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, on satellite, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah, near to Yawana, do Yawana. Sports Map, Sports Byline, both radio networks kick ass and take names. So does Arm Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Warriors lead the Cavs right now by 14 with 8 minutes to go. So no stopping the Dubs right now. And your boy, Steph Curry, 25 points tonight. He's 9 of 21, but 2 of 11 from 3. Has to be gassed from last night, hitting 11 threes. He's got 5 dimes to go with it. 25 and 5 for Curry. Wiggins has 17. Your boy Toscano Anderson has 17 off the bench. Lee, 11 off the bench. Poole, 12 off the bench. And they're kicking the Cavs' ass by 13 as we speak. Now 98-85. Set to go, Celtics and Lakers from Staples with fans. I wonder if Jack Nicholson will be at the game. And the Kings and Suns in Phoenix tonight. Carver High, did you see they're putting a FanDuel Sportsbook in the Suns arena?
I saw. How outstanding is that? That is just tremendous partnership. Nice job by Phoenix Suns.
You know, considering that we live in Noah's Arkville here, where it, you know, rains every other day for 24 hours.
Sure does.
Maybe we should move to Phoenix so we could, you know, live right near the Suns arena and just walk to the arena every day and lay our action down at the new FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, I'm all for that. That sounds good to me. Whatever makes it happen.
And then we could watch your boy D-Book and CP3 perform their skills. And then, you know, in between that, you can grab a tall freshie and go to the sports book and bet on your 45 golf tickets a day. Carver High with a massive gambling problem with golf now, which is fantastic.
And it is massive.
It is massive. What did you say you're doing? Three ball? What is that? We got it all going here. Gambling on golf, losing money on hockey. Trey Young sucks. Get benched. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. So today we talked about the deal with the NFL and FanDuel, DraftKings, and Caesars, which is, you know, at some level, I think, is it not at some level or another William Hill, Carver High? I mean, I can't figure it out. Like, Caesars, William Hill runs their sports book. So yeah, I believe
they are merging, yes.
So anyway, the situation is the NFL has 3 betting partners now. I never thought, I said this today to Ariel when she was on Coast to Coast, I never thought I'd see the day, to be honest with you, that they all got in bed together. Now, my guess is that it was not their choosing. It was probably the NFL's choosing that said, we're going to have all 3 of you. We're not going to pick one. We're going to make money from 3 different entities. That's my guess. Like, I don't know the intricacies of the deal, but I couldn't believe it because, you know, it's kind of tit for tat. They, you know, one does one thing, the other does the exact same thing, right? They one puts a sports book in and then the other one does it like a week later. Like every move they make, the other one tries to supersede it or whatever. You know what I mean? They're like direct competitors. I mean, without a doubt. Now, I'm sure they'll all lie and say they aren't, but that's exactly what it is, right? Like, you can't deny it. You tell me, Carver High, how do you see it? Like, Don't tell me all those sports books are friends. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not. But I think what this comes to, you know, to have multiple partners is what we're seeing nationwide now, Scotty. You know, there's different books available in different states. Not every book is in every state so far. So I think it comes to how they can expand the net as far as they possibly can when it comes to getting in as many states that have sports betting. And we're seeing, obviously, a great increase in that in the past couple weeks, whether it be Arizona here, you know, these last 2 days, whether it be Maryland and New York, hopefully, you know, in the last couple weeks. So things are moving here, and I think they're just trying to cast as wide a net as they possibly can.
Do you think that, like, literally, that before you know it, now I said something today like, okay, you know, when I go to Steelers games at Heinz Field with my season tickets, that, you know, they got the Rivers Casino right over there in the parking lot at the other end of the stadium. Basically, they have a casino right there. But do you feel that every stadium in the league sooner or later is going to have a sports book in it right when you're at the game?
I believe we've probably got, for every single one, probably in the 10 to 15 year range, because there's still a lot of states that there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of getting this, you know, mobile up everywhere and even getting sports betting in general everywhere. You know, New York going through, you still got a couple of other big states that are still waiting, whether it be Texas, California, Florida. So I do think that eventually that day will come, but I think that that day is still a little bit down the road.
So, I mean, a lot of them already have sports books in the arenas. They've already got them in, you know, several places, DC, Jersey. You can do a lot of things in these arenas in terms of betting and at the, or downloading the app, right? So you could go in there and download the app and start betting right in your seat. So what's the difference, right? So I just feel like, first of all, New York is going to be mobile betting only. Is that about right? Like, are they going to actually, is that deal not just for mobile betting and not, it's not a brick and mortar sports books are going to start popping up all over New York?
Right. This is for mobile betting. What's going to go down in New York, hopefully by the Super Bowl. So there is nothing with the brick and mortars. There's nothing with stadiums yet. I know that a few of the senators that were involved and wanted their bill to go, you know, their way, wanted to be able to put physical, you know, sports books and kiosks in Yankee Stadium, in Madison Square Garden, etc. But that is not, as of right now, part of this bill that's going to go through. Now, does that mean, that doesn't mean that down the road they can't eventually add that. So that's something that could happen one day, but it's not in this current legislation that's going to go through.
Do you think that James Dolan will let a sports book go into Madison Square Garden?
Yes, he likes money.
Yeah, I would think so, right? Like,
he likes money.
Can you imagine that you couldn't bet at the Garden in New York City if everyone else had them, and then this guy wouldn't allow it? That would be absurd. I also need to know, frankly, I've never really understood California based on, frankly, how liberal it is. Right. Like, it, you know, notoriously has been Democratic, right, in California. That's all there is to it. And why in God's name have they not allowed sports betting out there? That's amazing to me, because they, am I wrong? Because they have casinos all over the place in California. I mean, everywhere you go, there's casinos.
They do. Why? There's casinos all over the place.
So what's the problem with sports betting? What is it, like the Antichrist or something? I don't understand. Is it satanic?
Yeah, we'd have to talk to the governor. We'd have to ask Gavin.
Gavin on the show.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy to ask. It's, you know, there's still a lot of states that are still very far behind in this thing. When you talk about California to some people, they still say, you know, 2 years, maybe 3 years, you know, they're still saying that there's years attached to when they finally are going to have this thing done. So I do think the day's coming. I think the day will be there that you have painted the picture for, where you can go into any stadium, any arena, of a professional team and be able to do this, kind of like what you can do in England, right, at the Premier League. Like, you go to a Premier League game in England, you know, you bet on the game, right, you know, right there at the window, right. You can go to it. So, yes, I do think the day's coming. It's just still just a little bit far away.
I think that Gavin is I don't even think I know. He is stressed out, that dude.
Wow.
Because when COVID happened, people came down on him like it was his fault. Like he's the reason for, you know, I know you've seen over the last year the shutdown of you know, scholastic and youth sports in California and pro sports on top of that. They're just now letting people back into stadium. Tonight they're at Staples. Fans are at Staples. It's just now opening up again, the state. So he actually was in charge of the state when this whole thing happened, right? He became the governor, and we always knew he would become the governor. When we talked to him, I think at the time we talked to him in the studio when he came to visit us in New York at CBS, he was the lieutenant governor, right? He wasn't even the governor yet.
Correct.
So he became the governor, and you talk about a guy that is just stressed out, man, and aged. That guy, like, when I see him, he doesn't even look like the same guy. Like, literally, like, it's taken a toll on him. And I've never seen anything like it. It's like the people out there, first of all, like I said, it's very democratic, very liberal. You would think that they'd be cool about making money and that they would want to make money, because everything out there is screwed up. The budgets, the taxes, everything out there is crazy. Like, I mean, literally, they pay double the property taxes we do. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Which is hard to believe.
It's hard to believe because you think we're the highest in the country, but we're not. And New York and, you know, whatever. Jersey, Long Island, New York City, the taxes are through the nose. But in California, it's worse, way worse. We've already had this discussion with our boy, the sports tax guy, Rayola. Remember, you know, it's like 13.8% or something crazy. That's just the state tax. The, you know, income tax or whatever is even worse. So I can't believe they wouldn't allow sports betting. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. Blue Line Kurtz is on with us now. George Kurtz from Sports Grid. We always like hooking up with George to talk hockey and baseball. So we'll do a segment of each with George. And how you doing, George? Hope you're all right, buddy.
Oh, I'm doing well. But as a Yankee fan and an Islander fan, I've been better sports-wise.
Okay, well, I just heard you talking with Carver High, or at least I heard him talking to you. I did not hear what you said to him, so I want to hear it from you. Let's start with baseball then. I have to ask you, like, because I heard him talking about Aaron Boone, basically, and that, you know, they're not better, that the team's not better, and he can't stand the way they deal with you know, the kid, the outfielder, Frazier. Do you agree with his assessment of any of that? Like, he says he can't even listen to Boone talk anymore. He's just a PR flack for the Yankees and for Cashman. How do you feel about him as their manager?
Yeah, I think he's correct. I have no issues with Boone, but that's all he is. He's not a manager. You know, the stats department, the analytics department runs the game. All Boone does is make the pitching changes. That's really all he does. He'll take the hit for everything. He'll just repeat what Cashman tells him to say. Listen, when people bring up the Gardner-Frazier thing, just say this, and that's what he'll say. Yeah, that's all he's going to do there. He's being told who to play, when to play them. That's the way it is for a lot of teams in baseball nowadays. They want a manager who is good with the media, who can handle the media. It was Joe Girardi's biggest problem. Right, he was a little crass with the media. He had some problems there. Had got into some fights. He got into a fight with Wallace Matthews. A big argument. I think it was in Toronto over something that happened. And I think also with Girardi, I don't want to say he lied about things, but he wasn't very forthcoming. And the Yankees like to be more forthcoming, although that seems to be off the rails a little bit this season as well. So, yeah, I agree about Boone. I don't blame Boone for it, mind you. He is what he is. Hal didn't want to spend the money this season, so they were going to have a pretty similar team to last year. And it's the Yankees, they're built to win games outside of when Gerrit Cole pitches. They're built to win games 6-4. And when they're not hitting, they're not a very good team. And I said to Mafia, I'm a fan. I watch the games. They are terrible to watch right now. It's like, I don't mind them losing, Scotty. Yeah, it's baseball. You're going to lose, even in a great season, you're going to lose 60 times. But they are no fun to watch. They don't play baseball. They don't look interested. They look like this is extended spring training. Like these games don't mean anything. Or like they think it's last year, where everybody was going to make the playoffs and the games don't count. Doesn't matter. We'll be fine. We'll play well in the playoffs. You know, it's boring baseball. It's not fun to watch.
So, I don't remember specifically, but at some point, at one point or another in my career, I was on in New York a lot at the Fan and wherever, and ESPN and NEW and Howard Stern and all the rest, right? So at one point, and I think it was basically when I was at the Fan, but I'm not certain, but I am positive about one thing, is that I've had a fight with that guy, Wallace Matthews, before, right? Like, mine was real simple. Like, I don't remember exactly what happened. All I know is that I told him I was going to beat his ass. I was going to beat his ass. Like, I'm like, dude, you're going to get your ass beat in about a minute. And that's what's going to happen here. So here's what I know. That guy hates my guts, right? Hates me. Meanwhile, he's a wuss bag, and I would throw him across the room. That's how quick that fight would be over. But here's the deal. I understand why he got in, like, fights with you're telling me he got in fights with Girardi. That guy, he instigates, Shaq with everybody. I mean, that's the bottom line. And you know that that's the way he reports. Now, I don't have a problem with the guy as a journalist. I know he can write. I think he's a good writer. I don't dispute that. I think the guy actually is good at his job. I just think he's a D. And so when you tell me he got in a fight with him, I'm like, well, who hasn't that guy gotten in a fight with? But, you know, with me, I just remember, for me, I just wasn't having it. Like, I'm not nice. So if you want to get in my face, anything can happen. And so I just know I don't like that guy. You brought his name up tonight. I swear to God, you just brought his name up, and my palms are sweating. Like, I want to punch him right now. I want to punch him right now, like, and knock his teeth out. And I will, too. But that has nothing to do with the conversation. But you brought him up, and I swear to God, my hands are sweaty right now. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to drop the gloves like your boy Milan Lucic the other night in his 1,000th game. All right, so let's talk more about their problems. Do you really believe that they're going to suck? Because I said today on the Coast to Coast, I'm like, 10 days doesn't make a season. So I think everyone here is overreacting to the fact that they've started so terribly.
Oh, well, you're 100% correct. All right, we're 2 weeks into the season today. All right, the Yankees will hit. All right, I imagine they will. I mean, there's too many guys in this team, too many guys who can hit, who have proven it in the past. They're bouncing into a truckload of double plays. I think it's up to 15 now, which leads baseball. They were tied with the Padres. Maybe the Padres went ahead today if they bounced into one. DJ LeMahieu, I think, leads baseball. He's bounced into 4 or 5. So they've had their issues. Listen, it's 2 weeks in. Those issues will be fixed. They will be. They've gone up against the Rays, tough pitching, and I think this weekend could be a nightmare as well, by the way. It may not go well. Cole is pitching, but I think he's pitching against Glasnow on Sunday. Good luck there. There's an under for you. They have problems. We don't know who's going to start tomorrow. All right? If you're a fan, it's been so ugly, Scott. Well, what can they do? They're not a good defensive team. They haven't been for years, right? They have very few positions on the diamond where they're plus defensively, other than LeMahieu. Center field with Hicks is good. Judge is good. Right? You can see Judge, by the way, he's protecting himself, which I wholeheartedly want him to do. But he's not diving at anything anymore, which means he's let a couple of balls get by him this year. And that's fine, because when he dives, he ends up being out for 3 months, and you don't want that. You want his bat in the lineup. The bullpen's been good, but they've been used so much. The starters' ERA outside of Cole is over 6. Over 6. And they're going about, 4 innings on average. That bullpen's going to be destroyed by June if they keep up this pace. So they got to start hitting. That's the bottom line. They got to start hitting this way. The starters can go, even if they're giving up four or five runs, they can still go five, six innings and win the game 7-5, 7-4. That's the bottom line here. They have to hit when Cole is not pitching. They're not doing it yet. They will. I think when the weather warms up, so will the bats.
I don't even think, look, I don't think the Rays are much better than the Yankees right now. I don't think they're playing good baseball either. And so I actually think that series, this, you know, I know they've owned them the last couple of years. Fair enough. I'll give you that. The Rays have owned the Yankees. But I think the Yankees, in my view, literally, I think it's imperative that they take two out of three this weekend, at the very least, from them in the Bronx. They have to get back, you know, in order. They have to get their shack together, because otherwise it is going to start getting ugly. I mean, they have to act like the, you know, I think they play like none of it matters. Like, they play like, who cares? We're making tons of money. Who cares?
Oh, isn't that most athletes nowadays?
Maybe. You
know, winning is a secondary thing. Not everybody, but well, for a lot of athletes, they want to get paid. It's a job, right? That's why we have these silly seven-inning doubleheaders, the runner on second to start the extra innings in the 10th inning, which we're going to see in the Rays game, by the way. They're going to the 10th inning because no one really cares about the sanctity of the game anymore. We want to get out of here. We want the game to get over with so we can go home, get paid. It's a job. That's why I don't know. I hate these rules, Scotty. I mean, I hate them. In the intense passion of a burning sun, I hate these new rules. But I don't know if they're going away, because who's fighting for it? Who's fighting to get rid of the extra base runner? The sports writers love it, because they make their deadlines now. So they're not going to write anything bad about it. Fans, your average fan, oh, now we get the games over in 2.5, 3 hours. Fine. You know, let's do this. We don't want to stay and watch a 14-inning ball game or whatever it might be. So I think a lot of athletes, I'm not saying every athlete, but I think a lot of athletes, they don't care. We want to get the games up. We want to go home, too. We want to get our paycheck. Right. Winning is nice. It's a bonus, but it's not what it used to be.
I got to tell you, Carver High, you remember the fan, the guys, let's just call it for what it is. Whenever there was a tie game, two things happened. So, like, let's say they were in the ninth inning and it was 2-2. I have never heard so many wuss bags in my life than the people that cried between the guy that wanted the game to end on the fan so he didn't have to stay there all night, to the guy on the national network, Carver High, that would complain that he couldn't do his update until it was a final. He couldn't leave. He couldn't go home until the game was a final. So he'd be there, and you know, I'd hear the, "I'm gonna miss my train. I'm gonna get home at 3 a.m. I'm like, I have never heard so many people cry about baseball scores in my life than when I worked over there. Am I wrong, Carver High? I mean, never heard the end of it. It was every time.
There was a lot of complaining there, that's for sure. They'd love these new rules now with the runner on second.
Those new rules are for girls, okay? You heard me. Honestly, I don't even, like, whatever. Like, I'm with George. Just play the game the way it's meant to be played. Like, they've ruined the game with all these stupid rules. And the guy I blame is Manfred. I really do. I think he's an idiot. I really do. Let me say one other thing, George. I think Aaron Hicks is the devil. I think he's Satan. And I don't care about anything else other than he sucks. He can't hit. He strikes out 4 times a game. He hits home run once every 3 months. I've heard all this. He's a switch hitter. He's a great outfielder. He's great at nothing. He's great at nothing. He is the reason they suck. His horribleness is spreading throughout the team, and they're all getting jinxed by Aaron Hicks because he sucks so bad. We'll come back with George and talk some more baseball and some hockey. We're talking to Blue Line on the Bench. All right, for On the Bench with Carver High, we're talking to Blue Line Kurtz, George Kurtz. It's 29-21 Celtics on the Lakers right now. I just wanted to say that Dennis Schroeder is overrated. I just wanted to say that he's no Rondo. Believe me, you. And then I hear the Knicks want him. No thanks. I'd rather have Derrick Rose, for Christ's sakes. Honestly, like, I don't get it. They're obsessed with Schroeder. Whatever. I mean, let's see him do what Rondo did for the Lakers with LeBron and company. Anyway, they're saying AD's about ready to come back. He's been cleared for all activities, so he's going to be back any day now. So anyway, George, going back to what I said, do you disagree with me about Aaron Hicks?
No. I probably don't have the hatred for him that you do, but it's, you know, maybe one level up. I mean, he's been a problem. He's not consistent. He gets hurt a lot. And then what, the Cashman gave him, an 8-year deal? I mean, it's only $10 million a year, which in baseball terms isn't much, but man, he's going to be with the team forever. Stop giving out these long-term deals here. I understand he's a center fielder and those are hard to come by, but yeah, I mean, it's hard to be thrilled about Hicks. I mean, but you can say about half the roster right now. I mean, Stanton's with the team forever, and he's a statue up there. He's weird, right? He has no mobility whatsoever. He just swings stiff. He's a stiff swinger, which is strange. I haven't seen that since really Tino Martinez, but at least Tino could hit the ball. So, like I said, they're just a frustrating team, Scotty. I mean, all I really watch is to see how far Judge can hit the ball right now. That's really it. Other than that, there's not much else there to watch unless Gerrit Cole's pitching.
He hit one the other night, that one to left center. That, I mean, I thought it literally, I thought it was going to land in Boca Raton when he hit it. He hit it so far. And then Stanton's had a home run like that in the Bronx that he hit deep into the stands. So, but you know, you're right. He hasn't done anything consistently. Fair enough. So the Dodgers and Padres start a series tomorrow. The Dodgers look near perfect, basically, the way they're playing, because they are the best team in baseball. And the Padres are chasing them. And, I mean, the Pirates beat Blake Snell, if you can imagine. And the Pirates won that series from the Padres, even though they lost today. How do you think the Padres will do when they fly back west to start the series this weekend with the Dodgers?
Yeah, the Pirates beat the crap out of Blake Snell. He missed, two-thirds of an inning there, and they got him out there? Not encouraging at all. Now, Fernando Tatis should be back tomorrow. They are planning on activating him for that game. And the Padres have been solid. They've had some pitching issues, right? Some injuries there. Guys going down. Dinelson Lamet, maybe he'll be back next turn through the rotation. So that's good news for them. They've weathered the storm. I think they're 9-5. You know, which when you consider, like I said, the rotation problems they've had, Lamet, Morjon is now on. Obviously, Clevenger's out for the year. Tatis being out. Grisham was out for a bit. Now, Will Myers is day-to-day with knee inflammation. He's missed a couple of games. Right. They've weathered the storm. But think about the Dodgers. You just said it. They're incredible. They have depth upon depth upon depth. Mookie Betts misses the weekend series against Colorado. No problem. Cody Bellinger? We don't care. We'll just plug this guy in. Chris Taylor plays then. No, you know, big deal. This guy, McKinstry, has come out of nowhere. I think he leads the team. He's tied for the team leading home runs, and he leads the team in RBIs. They got Seager. Turner's having a great year. Pollock isn't talked about. And the pitching staff is fantastic. Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler, Urias, May. David Price doesn't even make the rotation. All right, they have oodles of talent here. Oodles of talent. I think the Dodgers will take 2 out of 3. I do. I think they're the hot team right now. I think they're 10-2 going into tonight's game, and I'm surprised they've lost two. You know, you think about who they've lost to. They're the best team in baseball, in my mind. The Padres, I think they're good, but their talent level is not what the Dodgers are. I'll think the Dodgers are going 2 out of 3 this weekend.
So Tatis, they're bringing him back, and everybody's excited about that in San Diego. I got to tell you, I'm standing by what I said. I believe he's got a labrum tear. And I know I've had labrum tears. I've had my shoulders operated on. And all I know is the one thing that's held true, Dr. Chow said the same thing to me. He agreed with me. I've never met anyone in any sport ever that can play with a torn labrum in any sport. I don't care what it is. Hockey, forget about it. A torn labrum, you're not playing hockey because you won't be able to take a hit into the glass. Baseball, forget it. Football, please. Basketball, not happening. And then he has a labrum, slight labrum. I don't care, slight, big, long, short. Labrum tears, first of all, he got injured swinging the bat, got injured going to his right, got injured sliding, 10 days off, reflex training, rubber band training, weight training, icing, massaging. I don't care what it is. I'm telling you, he's going to get injured again with it. It's coming back, and he's going to get operated on, and his season's going to be over.
Oh, I agree. I really can't add anything to that. All right, there's no way he's playing the next 150 games. That's not happening. It's just going to be a matter of time until it pops out again. You said he got hurt on a swing. I know from layman's jelly, when you check your swing is when you have problems where it can pop out again, and it's immense pain. It will happen again. There's no way he was able to do whatever training you want to mention in 10 days to get that thing strength. Maybe you had a couple of months, you could build up some strength there. But no, he's surgery waiting to happen. If I had to put an over-under on it, I mean, I'm not so sure he can play 30 games before it happens again. And then they'll have to give him the surgery. Yeah, he's a ticking time bomb. There's no way he finishes the season.
So let's talk hockey now, George. The Islanders, the Islanders, I don't think they looked terrible tonight. It was 2-1, and then, you know, they got the whole goal, and then you get another one, a cheap one late. It was a one-goal game. They were down two. They made it a one-goal game in the second. I thought they were in the game. I thought they had some chances, and then they eventually lost the game. The big question is, do they turn around tomorrow night and you know, win that game in Boston? They cannot lose twice to them after they were 5-0 against them. Do you think they'll bounce back and win tomorrow?
Well, you know, as Carver and I were talking about during the break, right now they're not scoring. You know, since they acquired Zajac and Palmeiro, and I'm Kyle Palmieri. I'm not blaming those two, by the way. I'm just saying it's a coincidence. Since they've acquired those two, they have scored 6 goals in 4 games. 6 regulation goals, I should say. They did score a shootout goal. I think it was Brock Nelson to beat Philadelphia. They scored an overtime goal, Ryan Pulock, to beat the Rangers. Other than that, they have 6 regular regulation goals here, and Zajac and Palmieri both have 1 each of those. So they're having trouble scoring right now. It's an issue. It's a problem. I don't think they played all that bad tonight either. I mean, you can make an argument here if you want to blame the refs, which we all love to do, that if the refs call, they were down 1-0, they were on a power play. I forget who the defenseman was on Boston. Grabbed the puck and literally threw it. That should have been a penalty. Would have put the Islanders 5-on-3, and it happened maybe 5 seconds before Brock Nelson took the double minor. So that double minor would have never happened. The play would be dead there. It'd be 1-0 Islanders on a 5-on-3 for about a minute 50. Instead, hey, you know, they're down 2-0 before they know what's going on. But they're not scoring right now. You know, the Islanders do go into these funks where they, you know, it takes 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks for them to get out of it before they start scoring goals again. They play from the goaltender on out. I expect Sorokin to start tomorrow. Varlamov played solid tonight, but that one goal to Taylor Hall, his first for Boston, not pretty. He was going for a poke check there, sticking the stick out. And, you know, Hall slid it along the ice. It goes in here. Do I think they win tomorrow? I'm going to go yes. I think Trotz is going to get on them big time tonight. I think they have to play better here. But they're an older team. Back-to-back games can be a problem. But on the Trotz, they've been pretty good in back-to-back. I'll go with the Islanders tomorrow.
I think Zajac had a goal tonight, unless I'm crazy. But here's the thing. Your boy Butch was up to his old tricks again. Let's just be clear. So Butch is crying about every call. And he mentioned the call you were talking about. He talked about that for 5 minutes. And then it's so funny to me because everything's against the other team. It's everything. It's every call is wrong. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of the game, he had the perfect, and I can prove it. This guy's so funny. I can't get enough of him because he's just so ridiculous with his complaining about the calls. And then, and I think he's a legend. Okay. So don't get me wrong. I hate the Islanders. Fair enough. But I know legends. I think he and Bossy legends. Fair enough. All I know is, did you hear him on the Krejci spear at the faceoff? He was like, whoa, that was a spear, but if you can get away with it. He's like, do you remember Krejci came away from the ref waved him out of the circle and he was shaking his hand after the guy for the Islanders speared him. He's like, well, there's a spear right there, but if you can get away with it, if they're not going to call, that's a nice spear to get in there. If you're going to get away with one. Oh, my God, I can't take this guy with his crying about the calls. Oh, my God, I want to kill myself. And then but then I'm watching the Penguins tonight. They've been scoring 5 goals a game for 11 games. Even when they lose, they were scoring 5 goals. And then they eventually tonight score 1 goal, and the Flyers, who are terrible, beat them. So if the Penguins and Islanders play in the playoffs, the Penguins beat them 6-8. I still think the Islanders beat them. Do you think the Islanders still beat the Penguins in the playoffs?
Well, it's been a weird season, right? You mentioned Penguins have owned the Islanders this year. And the Islanders have played well in those games, but weird goals have gone in. I think Varlamov has fallen twice. I mean, literally fallen in his crease twice to get easy goals to Pittsburgh. Jarry has looked like, I mean, Patrick Roy in net against the Islanders, making big-time saves here. I'd be nervous because Pittsburgh has had the Islanders' number. That being said, and I know this is strange, I think I'd rather play Pittsburgh than Boston. And with Tuukka Rask in that, assuming he's healthy by then, you know, with that top line, I'm not big on Taylor Hall. I sort of think he's very overrated, especially the last couple of years. But still, he makes that second line better if they're healthy on D. I'd probably rather go up against Pittsburgh. But that division is a nightmare. They all went for it at the deadline. Right?
Why do you think he's overrated? Why do you think he's overrated? Because I think he's a really talented player that's played on crappy teams, and everyone blames him for everything. But the reality is, when he was when he won the Hart, he was really good. And all of a sudden, he sucks. I think when he plays with Boston and Bergeron and Krejci, and he plays with Pasta, and he plays with Marchand, I think he's going to start being the player he always was when he was considered great. I think he sucked because of the teams he's been on. I mean, Arizona and this team in Buffalo, that's like going to federal prison, Blue Line.
He's only had two seasons of more than 65 points. That's it. You mentioned the MVP season, and in 13 with Edmonton, he had 80. Other than that, he's been on five NHL teams now. If you're so good, why is everybody so anxious to get rid of you? I mean, it's strange.
You don't think those teams he was on sucked?
Listen, it's an argument. There's no doubt they've been bad. You know, no doubt they've been bad. But he hasn't made them better. I know Buffalo was a nightmare this year. There's a lot of crap going on in Buffalo. I think the Jack Eichel over the offseason will be dealt. I think the Rangers are a top opportunity for him. But still, he slept walk. He didn't care. And that was weird because he was on a one-year make-good deal to get a big contract next year.
Right.
And still, he slept walk through a season.
But if he was so good, I do wonder, if he was so good, George Eichel, it's the same argument. And I'm not even arguing with you. I'm telling you. It's the same argument. It's that everybody says Eichel's so great. Meanwhile, he sucks. And they suck. And then Hall sucks. Oh, no. The team sucks. I think Eichel sucks because he plays on that crappy team. You know what? It would take three Eichels and three Halls on that team for them to even be decent. That's how bad they were.
Well, that's why if I'm Buffalo, I trade Eichel. If you can get a King's ransom, I think the Rangers make sense because they have so much talent on the Rangers that adding Eichel there, I think Eichel would play up to his capabilities. And, you know, I think the Buffalo could add several young players from the Rangers that would certainly help top prospects, draft picks. I think it makes all the sense in the world if they can get a King's ransom for Eichel to make the move, because Eichel is never going to be that player in Buffalo. It's just not going to happen there. I just think Eichel's a little bit of a head case, one of those athletes who's been handed everything to him his whole career. He knew he was always going to be great, and he could be somewhat of a coach killer as well. But I think playing for the Rangers, Broadway, big city, I think that cures a lot of that.
All right, George, I always love talking with you. Great stuff tonight, talking hockey and baseball. Enjoy the rest of the night. We'll catch up again real soon. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Always my pleasure, Scotty.
All right, Blue Line Kurt styling tonight on the Mahogany. Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. So here's one thing I wanted to mention. I just said it to you, Carver. I want to tell the audience. I think that the deal the Celtics made where they got rid of Tice and got Wagner, that was just a terrible deal. Bottom line, terrible. Because Wagner's a terrible pro. That's just all there is to it. He was a really good college player, terrible pro. He's as white as a refrigerator. And the guy, Luke Cornett, he's an absolute just wuss bag. He is the worst big man in the league. He really is. Like, he's playing right now, and he has no points, one rebound, and he does absolutely nothing. He's 7 foot tall. You know what's funny about him is that, and I'm not even right, 7'2", 250 pounds. He looks like a toothpick out there. He's slower than molasses. And I have to say, you always know, I play ball my whole life. When you suck, no one gives you the ball. It's because you suck. It's simple. You're not getting the ball because you're terrible. They don't even give him the ball. They won't even – he could post – he's 7'2", and he posts up. They wouldn't even consider giving him the ball. He's not even allowed to touch the ball. I have no idea why he's even in there. They lost a guy that was physical, violent, would fight, would dunk, would block shots, would even hit a shot. He'd pull up from three and hit it. Not many, but he'd hit one or two here and there, and he could score from inside. He can rebound, follow, tip in, dunk, loop dunk, whatever you want. He had game. This guy is a complete toilet water. I mean, he is so awful. I'm watching him right now. I mean, I'm better than him. I guarantee it. I'll drop 20 on you right now. That guy is the biggest wussy 7'2" thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, honestly, what were they thinking? They don't have a big man.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.